Thanks, Greg. Hi, everybody. I'm Maureen. I'm an alcoholic. Y'all came back, so it must not be too bad. So step six and seven for me, it was, I don't know, I had a little bit of a hard time with it because they are definitely steps that I have to practice all the time. So whatever I'm going to share about these steps is from my own experience and my own view on the steps, what works for me. And Greg already had read the steps. So last week I did step four and five, and I said that what I do after I do step five with the women that I sponsor and what was done with me is that we go right into step six and step seven. And it's important to do a thorough step five before I'm able to go into step six. When I did step five, it helped me to really look at my assets and my liabilities. It helped me to identify the attitudes and behaviors that were hindering me from having a really good relationship with my higher power, a connection with my higher power, the barriers. And it also let me know that I had to take some responsibility for the people that I had hurt. When I went into step four and step five, I think I was going in there thinking that I was going to blame others, and I didn't want to look at my part in it. And by doing a thorough step five with my sponsor, it helped me to take a look at my part in things. And it helped me understand, too, that it helped me to better understand my disease of alcoholism. So it helped me to understand that I was not a bad person, that the things that I did to the people around me, and particularly the people that I loved the most, I didn't do those things deliberately. So it helped me to be a little forgiving of myself, not to be so hard on myself. So it helped me to take responsibility for my actions and not to make everything the fault of the other person or institution. It helped me to understand the exact nature of my wrongs. After doing step five, with my sponsor and the women that I sponsor, after it was finished, just to review in step five, the shortcomings and my liabilities, to sit and review those. And for me, what was identified in step five was control, jealousy, insecurity, fear, that I was judgmental, manipulative, self-centered and selfish, procrastinated, and self-righteous. And some of those things I was aware of, and some I really wasn't aware of. They didn't come to light until I did my step five. And it's so important. I know I'm going into step six and step seven, but I have to finish about step five before I can go into six and seven, because as my husband always says, the steps are done in order for a reason. So you have to make sure you've completely done one before you move on to the next one. And they overlap too. So the behaviors that came to the surface, as I said, some of them I was aware of them, some of them I was not aware of. And I was trying, the ones that I was aware of, I was always trying to be good when I got here and before I got here, you know? So I always thought when I didn't succeed that I was a bad person, you know, that I was failing, that I was weak. And, you know, so that brings me to step six, because I understood that I couldn't change those things on my own, that I needed help to do that. It was almost like going back to step one, two, and three all over again, only applying it to my defects of character, to my shortcomings. So I had to recognize that I was going to need help and that I couldn't do it on my own. And who I did it with, initially was my sponsor. You know, I had to rely on my sponsor. The women that I sponsor have to rely on me to help them. You know, God works through people. My sponsor, Beverly, teaches me all the time that God puts people in our lives to work on us. And so for me, it's my sponsor, and it's the women that I sponsor and the people that are around me. My we, you know, everybody says they have a we. I have a we. So I wanted, like, my goal in step six is to turn these over and to learn how to be my best person, because that's what I want. I always wanted to be my best person. I just didn't know how to do that. I didn't have the tools to do that. And that's where the steps come in, because the steps, along with my sponsor, along with meetings, along with the big book, you know, those are in my higher power mostly. Those are the tools I need to work on being the best version of myself. Okay, so as said, step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So when I was doing step five last week, somebody said, why do you have them burn their step five? Well, you know, that can be symbolic. That can be, you know, for me, it's symbolic. And I burned my step five, and it was to, for a starting point, like to get rid of all that old stuff and start to move on in step six, to build on step six, to address those defects of character and those shortcomings, so I can start to transform those a little bit. As I'm able to look at those directly and get to the root of those, then maybe I can change some of those around. When in step six, humility is essential. And as I mentioned before, humility for me is knowing that I can't do it on my own, that I need help, that I, you know, in the 12 and 12, it says that humility is the whole emphasis of step seven, when you get into step seven. So with step six, after I do a step four and five with somebody, after they share their step five, we review those defects of character, and then just take that step six, and there is a step six prayer that can be said. And we usually review 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then step six prayer would be, God, thank you for removing my fear and for showing me the truth about myself. I need your help to become willing to let go of the things in me which continue to block me off from you. Please grant me your grace to remove these objectionable characteristics, defects, and shortcomings from me. Amen. And really, basically, that's step six, you know, just to be willing to want to move on and to have those defects removed. You know, recognizing that they're not going to be removed all at once. And as I had said, you know, these are steps that I work on all the time. I mean, it's not like I did a step six and seven, or I'm sure all of you can say that, you know, you do a step six and seven and, oh, they're gone and you never have to look at them again. That's not the way it works. In fact, new ones pop up that you didn't even know you had, because the deeper that you dig, you know, and the more that you want to keep clearing away that wreckage of the past, the more you reveal. More will be revealed. So going into step seven. So step seven, we already did read it, but I'll read it again. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So I turn to my higher power and I say, you know, I recognize that I have these shortcomings, that I have these defects of character that are blocking me from having a good flow, a good relationship with my higher power. And I recognize that I want them removed So I'm asking God to help me to do that, because I humbly tell him that I can't do it alone. And I understand that I've tried and I've tried, and it's just not working. My way isn't working. It's like I said, it's back to step one, two, and three. I mean, when it came to my drinking, you know, I tried and tried on my own to quit, and it wasn't until I was able to do a thorough one, two, and three that I understood and accepted that I was going to need help. And that's where step six and seven are when it comes to my character defects and my shortcomings. So going into step seven, by the time I got to step seven, my concept of a higher power, who I choose to call God, changed. You know, the God that I was brought up with was a punishing God. And when I prayed to him, it was kind of a bargaining prayer, like a foxhole prayer, like, get me out of this one and I promise I'll do this. You know, it was that bargaining. But by going through the process of my step five with my sponsor, because God worked through her, I realized that I had a forgiving God and an understanding God, and that I didn't have to be perfect. And that most of all, my higher power is very loving. So that made it easier for me to do a step six and seven, to go and say, you know, please help me, you know, and I wasn't going to be judged, because that's important too. And I said that before, I think last week, it's so important that you're working with a sponsor that's not going to be judgmental, you know, because that really helped with my relationship with my higher power, to be more open with my higher power. And I think I also had said last week that my current sponsor, Beverly, teaches me all the time that if I'm not honest with her and I don't tell her exactly what's going on with me, she can't help me. You know, if I try to pull the wool over her eye, she's not really going to know what's going on with me. So how can she guide me? So it's really important that I be honest. And that comes with step seven too. When I talk about these shortcomings, and, you know, it's important that I be honest with my sponsor, or my sponsees be honest with me when we're working this step. Be ready to own up to these shortcomings and character defects. So I'm no longer fearful to ask for the help that I need. I recognize too that I'm not alone. You know, this is where the isolation, you know, before, I think these character defects that I had, I didn't want to share them with anybody, because I felt like such a bad person that I had some of those. You know, particularly, I guess I'm thinking about the control, the manipulation. I mean, definitely the manipulation. I would do something for you, but I would definitely expect something in return. But the way I would present it to you, you might not know that was my intent. I would be very manipulative, because I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. I mean, because I was trying to fill that hole inside of me, you know, I was trying to fill it. So I would maneuver and manipulate, but I knew down deep that my motives were not honest. They were not pure. And that's another thing that you learn in Alcoholics Anonymous early on, you know, that to check your motives. That really helped me a lot when my sponsor, my first sponsor, Stephanie, helped me with that a lot. When I would act, she would say, check your motives. So by sharing in step five, by sharing that, it brings light and hope into my life. You know, by sharing with another person, and by my sponsor sharing with me, you know, I don't feel like I'm in the dark, like I'm alone. I feel like it starts to make me feel more a part of this fellowship, you know, because as I shared in my step five, she would share with me that maybe the same thing happened or even worse. And then that would make me feel better, you know, feel lighter, feel a lot of hope that I can change. Because, you know, as my sponsor shared with me, maybe that she went through a certain experience, but how she came through it, that gives me hope. And that's the same with character defects. You know, my current sponsor and I, we have a lot of the same shortcomings and character defects. We say it all the time. And, you know, she shows me the way by example. We recognize through step 7 that we need connection to others. And that comes through our sponsor and through the people in the program around us that are closest. So to do step 7, we start with this step 7 prayer. And I'm going to read that. I read that often. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. So, just a few things on step 6 and 7. It's a lifetime process. You know, as I said, I'm constantly working on it on a daily basis, you know, saying that 7-step prayer. When something is pointed out to me now, I'm able to take a look at it. I mean, that's what's happened from doing step 6 and 7. You know, before, if somebody pointed something out to me to take a look at, I would automatically blame it on the other person or say, you know, I wouldn't want to assume responsibility at all. But as I go along, it gets easier, especially if the same thing is pointed out more than once or pointed out more than once by several persons. I mean, I got to take a look at that. And I've learned to be able to take constructive criticism and even to be able to seek that out, you know, to look for that. And even if it's going to be uncomfortable, because, you know, when I'm uncomfortable and when I have to take a look at something, that's when I'm growing, you know, is when I'm uncomfortable. And then I'm able to share that experience with the women that I sponsor. So let's see. I now know that my way is not the only way. Not everybody would agree with that all the time, but I do, you know, try to look at it and look at other person's ways. And sponsorship is so important with step 6 and 7. It's important with all the steps, but it's really important. And because you've done step 4 and 5 and talked about, you know, what's happened up to that point, and then when you're talking about 6 and 7 and you've identified that with your sponsor, then if I'm going to my sponsor, she knows that's an issue. And if I keep going back, we might have to regress and do a step 4 and 5, maybe on just a couple of my character defects if they keep popping up. Okay. My sponsor helps me to see my part in situations. So some of the changes for me from doing step 6 and 7 and as I go along, one of my character defects was jealousy. Now I'm able to be genuinely happy for others. See, I was never happy with myself. I always wanted what you had. You know, I was always comparing. And now, because I've learned to genuinely love other people, I can be happy for them. And I can recognize that they work for what they have. You know, whether it be their sobriety or whether it be a material thing, you know, I can be happy that they've earned that. I don't have to be jealous like I was before. And I don't have the low self-esteem that I had before. You know, when I, that was something that was identified in my step five, was my low self-esteem. And again, that was because I was always comparing myself to other persons. And I think I had mentioned it last week. There was a gentleman in the program, his name was Jack Held. And, you know, early on, he said to me once, you know, if you're comparing yourself to other people, you're comparing how you feel on the inside to how somebody looks on the outside. And you have no idea. It's there's no comparison. And I hold on to that. And that really helps me a lot. I remember early on in the program, there was a woman that came in a little bit after me, and she was ahead of me on the steps. And I was comparing myself. Well, she had a different life than I did, you know. We all got here at a different rate, and our programs are all different, and that's where a sponsor comes in. So I don't have the self-esteem that I the low self-esteem that I had before. I have good self-esteem, I have self-worth, and I have dignity. Let's see, because I can love others, I am not always as self-centered as I was before either. You know, that's a change for me. I would do for you, like I said, and I would expect something in return. And today, I can do for others just because I want to and not expect anything in return. I mean, because I love people, and I want good for them. And just in closing, I want to say that I continue to work to be the best person, the best version of myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. So now we'll open this up for questions. Does anybody have a question you want to ask our speaker? If you do, please just unmute yourself and then go ahead. Who's first?
I'll go first. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
Maureen, thank you so, so much for the insights you've shared tonight. And but what I'm thinking about is those first two words of step six. I know that I have not been entirely ready at different kinds of variety to let go of character defects. And I wanted to ask about you and about someone you sponsor and how you become entirely ready.
Well, thanks, Helen. I think entirely ready, back when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and did this step for the first time, and entirely ready now are two different things. I was as entirely ready as I was able to be, as ready as I was able to take a look at myself. And like I said, you know, the more that I go along, the more I want to take a look at myself, because that's sobriety. You know, I want to keep digging. I want to keep delving deeper. So as far as the women that I sponsor, I think when I'm working that step with them, as I said, I try to have a no judgment zone, try to share my own experience and try to give them some hope and make them comfortable so that they're able to take a look at it. Maybe when we do the step initially, as I said about myself, maybe they're not ready to take a look at it all, even though I put it out there for them. So we have to revisit it when they're ready. Thanks.
Who's next?
Greg, this is Lisa. If I'd like to make a comment to Mark. Maureen, thank you very much. I don't have a question. What I really liked is that you really helped me understand three and six. I was always trying to get them confused, and to me, they were so much alike. but I liked that you separated it. And first, I'm just being willing to turn over my will to the care of God. But later in 6, that it's I'm willing to let God take my defects away, because I think you also brought up that when you talk about 7, that you have to have the humility to understand that you don't have to do it alone. And a lot of my problems is that I want to do everything by myself. So really, you helped me understand 3, 6, and 7 so much more, because certainly just coming into the program at 3, being willing to, you know, to give, to turn your will over to God is a little different to 6 when you are starting to understand where your defects lie, and you're having to make a bigger, you have to surrender more. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate you reminding me with 7 to have the humility to understand that I can't do it alone, that I need to turn to my higher power. And certainly to the program and to the people that have shared their strength with me, thank you so much for giving me the guidance tonight that you have.
Thanks, Lisa. I think that's, everybody would say that's the hardest thing for us as alcoholics is to ask for help. It's really hard to ask for help, but it's so important.
Who's next?
I don't know how to get into raising my hand.
So. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. I had a question about how you help people feel the difference between humility and humiliation.
Well, I think by the, so humility, all right, so I think by the time you get to 6 and 7 and you're asking for help, you know that you're deserving of that help. Remember, I just talked about the difference in my view of my higher power. You know, I could go to my higher power because I knew that my higher power was loving and forgiving. Humiliation is when we think we don't deserve it, you know. We think we're lower than dog dirt, you know what I mean? And the other thing is that I talked about the understanding that you get when you do 5, if you sit there with your sponsor, you understand that the things that you did that you feel so bad about and so remorseful about, you didn't do them intentionally or on purpose. You know, it was your alcoholism that was involved in it. So I think that helps. I mean, the humiliation comes from thinking that we did these things and we're a really terrible person and who would love us and want to forgive us, you know, but if you work through 4 and 5 and then get into 6 and 7, by then, hopefully, you have an understanding that you're an alcoholic and you have a disease and it's alcoholism and that you are a moral person. I mean, for me, you know, I was brought up with morals. You would never know that by the things that I did. But it was my alcoholism and it was my hole in my soul that caused me to do the things that I did. So by the time you get to 6 and 7, hopefully you have an understanding of that and the humiliation isn't there and it's more humility because you're deserving of that love and forgiveness.
Who's next?
Well, it's a little bit early to quit, so I guess I got a couple of questions.
All right. Go ahead, Santa Claus.
You were talking, you spent a lot of time talking about, you know, your defects, but you didn't, how do you deal with when you were talking about 4 and 5, you mentioned things about, you know, all the things about us aren't bad. So there's, we have.
Well, I think that I talked about that a little bit at the end.
Right.
You know, when I was saying that, you know, I thought I had these shortcomings, but right. then is it, go ahead.
Go ahead. And then, you know, so could you elaborate more of, you know, we know when you work with your sponsor and you're working on your shortcomings and your defects, do you also incorporate the asset part of the fiscal?
Yes, yes, yes.
And how do you do that?
Well, I mean, as I'm going through, say with my sponsor, you know, I'm looking at when I'm doing my 4th and 5th, when I'm doing my 5th step with my sponsor, I'm thinking about when I've done it with Beverly, you know, I'm pointing out all the negative, all the things that I did. And then, you know, she's pointing out to me, you know, like I'm thinking I'm manipulative. And she's pointing out to me that maybe I'm not manipulative. I'm just, I'm seeking love or seeking approval or, you know, like, so she helps me to understand my motives, helps me to understand my motives. And like I talked about in the end, as I go along, some of those come to surface. You know what I mean? They were always there. They were always there. But as I work, and address these shortcomings, I find out that they're not all shortcomings, that I have assets also.
So when you're working 6 and 7 with somebody, and do you guys have a list of like, these are my 3 major character defects and these are my assets?
Yes. Yeah. We usually, I have them write them down and then we review them.
Mm-hmm. Then how do you have them? Do you have them like do take like the act, you know, like low self-esteem? You talked about low self-esteem and checking your motives. I can see how that, what do you do to diminish those and to increase your assets? Like, I don't know what, you know, if you were like kind and loving, does she guide you to do more acts of kindness and lovingness or working on your self-esteem? Is there exercises or something that she has you do that helps you with increase your assets and decrease your defects?
Well, I think for me, it was just, I'd have to say her just guiding me to get more involved in the program, to do more service work. You know, as I did more service work, that increased my self-esteem. It started here in the program before I was able to take it outside of AA into my life, into my work life, into my family life. I mean, I remember when I turned, when Stephanie was still my sponsor, I remember when I turned a year sober, and the day I turned a year sober, she gave me secretary of our home group. She was the secretary, and she turned it over to me. And that's, so it was through the program, through service work. And then when she had me start sponsoring before I thought I was ready to sponsor, you know, all those things started to make me feel like I had self-worth, and you know, it boosts my self-esteem. And that's what I try to do with the women that I sponsor, getting them involved in working with others and doing service work. And then, like I said, then that trickles out into your life. It did for me.
Anyone else?
All right, I have one more question then. Sorry.
Make it easy, Kevin. Make it easy. No.
Make it easy. Okay, so yeah, it is relatively easy. It's like, you know, when somebody's looking and they're not that familiar with the steps, and they go, oh, I looked at 6 and 7. I examined it. You know, it seems, you know, I looked in the big book. It's like a paragraph. How hard can that be? What's, you know, I did that in 15 minutes, you know. What do you say to somebody like that?
Well, I mean, steps 6 and 7, I mean, I had a little bit of a hard time with it because you're right. That's what it is. But by the time you get to step 6 and 7, that's where I feel the work really begins, because that's really where you have to start to work on yourself. I mean, by the time you get to step 7 and then you start going into 8 and 9, those are steps, at least for me, my experience, that I'm going to work on them for a lifetime. And, you know, they may be simple, but I can't say they're easy. And they are steps, 6 and 7 are steps that you're going to, it's like the AA program. You're going to get out of those exactly what you put into it. So as much effort as you put into those steps, that's what you're going to get out of them.
Perfect. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Hi, Maureen. I'm Marcia. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Marcia.
Hey, I was just wondering if there is a book out there that if you wanted to dig deeper into step 6 and 7, is there something that we could read that could help us out with the understanding?
Well, that would probably be Drop the Rock.
Really? Okay, that was question form.
That would be Drop the Rock. And then, of course, you would think I was doing a commercial for them. My little pamphlet here. Which says, ready, willing, and able.
Hi, Maureen. Rena, alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
So my question is if somebody refuses to look at their character defects throughout their sobriety and refuses to give up some of them that are really causing them harm, what do you think the outcome might be for them?
Well, they're probably not going to grow. I mean, if they're not going to take a look at it, you know, they're probably going to stunt their growth. And, you know, if they're not going to go outside their comfort zone, if they're not going to take a look at that, I mean, I've had that happen with a couple of women that I sponsor, you know, where they just have some of these character defects and they just won't take responsibility for them. And, it, you know, they're not growing in the program. They're just not growing. And the only thing I can do is set an example as a sponsor. I can point it out a few times, and I can set an example, and I can be there. But that's all I can do. I mean, I have one woman. She has 24 years sober, and you know she has a couple character defects that through years I've tried to point them out to her, and you know, she doesn't drink, and her life has changed some, but it could be a whole lot better. But, you know, that's all I can do as a sponsor, is point it out a couple times, set an example, and be there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Last call. Okay, well, if there's nothing else for Maureen, thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
We appreciate it. And do we have any